Matthew chapter 5, let's jump into the message this morning, shall we? The Bible says there, starting in verse number 13, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men." I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a good-for-nothing Christian. But he says, you are salt. And he says, if you've lost your savor, you are good for nothing. My daddy had low tolerance for lazy people. And he said, he ain't good for nothing. He ain't worth the powder it take to blow him up. Now, that's pretty sorry. You're not worth a bullet, okay? I mean, that's bad. And if I was saying, boy, you're good for nothing. I don't want to lose my savor. I want to be good for something. And as long as you're alive and breathing, you are good for something. Bible says, verse 14, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Amen. I hope you're making the Lord look good. You're either making him look good or you're making him look bad. Your kids can make you look good, or they can make you look bad. Those grandkids can make you look good, or they can make you look bad. They've got that power. The Bible says, a wise son maketh a happy father, glad father, proud father. Happy, I think, is what it says. Glad, is that what it is? Oh, you got a different version. Anyway, glad. Glad father. Boy, I tell you what. There's a lot of truth in that. That is truth. It's Bible. And I want my Father up in heaven to be happy with me. Amen. Let's bow for prayer. Shall we, Heavenly Father? I pray you'd help us to let our light shine in 2011, reaching the souls of men, pointing them to heaven. I pray, dear God, that you'd challenge us from your word. And Lord, if there's anyone here today and they've never been saved, they do not know for sure that they'd go to heaven when they die. I pray you'd help them to see their need, to understand what this means. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. You all can be seated. The Bible says you're the salt of the earth. I've got a container of salt right here. And why salt? He could have said you're the flour. He could have said you're the spice. He could have said you're the sugar. You're the sugar. My sweet thing's in the front row. We could call her sugar. Well, I'm trying to score some points. Yeah. Amen. Sugar. After sitting next to her smelling like a horse, I need to score some points. Amen. Now, but he says, no, you're salt. Why would he say salt? I'm glad you asked me. I'll tell you why he said salt. He said you're the salt of the earth because salt is essential to good health. Your body's cells must have salt in order to live, in order to function, in order to work. Man, there's more than 14,000 uses for salt. Salt is used as a seasoning for food, and salt is used to make ice cream. Salt is used to melt snow, and it's also used to make ice cream. Yeah, salt is used by meat packers and chemical companies, and they also use it to make ice cream. Very good. Salt is used by hide and leather processors and food processors, and it's also used to make ice cream. Yeah. Salt is used to make glass, soap, and washing detergents, and it's also used to make ice cream. Salt is used to make paper. It's used to make rayon. They also use it to make ice cream. Very good. Salt is used to purify water, preserve food, and kill germs. So eat your ice cream. That's right. You want to keep your kids healthy? Feed them ice cream. They got to have it. You'd die without salt. Just like this world would die and go to hell if it weren't for some separated, salty, soul-winning, serving saints for the Savior. Oh, thank God for them salty Christians. Amen. Salt is a symbol of purity. Salt, in fact, it was used in an ancient Hebrew custom to rub down newborn babies. They would sprinkle the babies with salt. They would rub them down to ensure, they thought, good health. Among many peoples today, salt is still used as a sign of honor, friendship, and hospitality. Salt was the chief economic product of the ancient world. In fact, salt was once so scarce and so precious that it was used as money. Caesar's soldiers receive part of their pay in salt. It's from that we get the word salary. You're on salary. It comes from that time. In fact, the phrase, not worth his salt, meant a man did not earn his wages. He was lazy. He weren't worth the powder it took to blow him up, okay? That's what that meant there, not worth his salt. Salt is mentioned over 46 times in Scripture. In fact, the Bible says in Job 6:6, can that which is unsavory be eaten without salt? I'm here to tell you no. Can you imagine McDonald's French fries without salt? Boy, can you imagine baked potatoes without salt? Boy, can you imagine a steak without salt? Venison without salt? Elk without salt, deer without salt, huh? Can you imagine that? Possum without salt. Yes, I can imagine that one, but all the others, I cannot imagine. Man, he says, you're the salt of the earth. I understand salt. Man, salt makes things better. Whew, I need salt to keep my blood pressure up. Amen? Salt. Thank the Lord for that. Hey, that salty Christian, that's that one that they step into the room and there's a better atmosphere. That salty Christian, that's that one that drives by and sees somebody broke down and offers to help. That salty Christian, that's that one when you got a flat tire on your trailer and you don't know it because you got more than two and it kind of balances out there and you don't even realize that the tire's going flat and somebody rolls the window down and says, hey, you got a flat tire, trying to help out. You know, there's some parts of the country I've been in where you could have all four blowed out, and they wouldn't. But on our way here, we had a tire that the sidewall on the inside had blew out and was slowly going down. And a fella rolled his window down. They waved at me and pointed that we had a flat tire, and I pulled over. Man, that's a blessing to find somebody that's wanting to help, somebody that's trying to be good to you. That's what salty people do. There's somebody that gives in at the right-of-way. There's somebody that holds the door open at the restaurant on Sunday morning after church when all the churches are making a rush to get to the buffet. There's that Amish buffet down the road and everything. Boy, the preacher took me there. Man, we had a mouth-watering, belly-pooching, tongue-tickling, eye-popping good time. Woo, buddy, we got foundered while we were there. Ate so much. But praise the Lord, we didn't have to open the door and wait for anybody. We was able to walk right in and clean the house. But you know, that salty person, they make things better. They reward bad behavior with kindness. Somebody's ill, somebody's mean. I remember the story of Brother Howes and Brother Ross. I'm sure you probably remember Brother Howes telling the story. He had went into the restaurant and he was greeted by an ill-tempered waitress, and there was no silverware, no menus, nothing on the table. And she come up in a huff and she says, well, what do you want? And he said, well ma'am, I'd like to have a menu and some silverware. And how about a glass of water to start with? Oh, she huffed and, all right. He said, thank you, ma'am. Oh, it seemed to bother her even more when he was kind to her and said ma'am to her. She come back and she practically threw the silverware and menus on the table. And she come back a little and he said, thank you, ma'am. Oh, she huffed and turned away. Come back a little while later. Do you know what you want? Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. Please, ma'am. Is that all you can say? He said, yes, ma'am. And he ordered a cup of coffee and a bowl of soup. She brought it back. When she set it on the table, she actually spilled it. Never come back to check on him the whole time. When it was time to leave, he did what you and I would do, reach in the pocket, pull out a penny, drop it in the glass of water, make the biggest mess he could. No, that's not what he did. He pulled out his wallet, opened up, turned to page number 20, took one of those $20 bills and put it in the gospel tract, laid it on the table, turned and walked away. And as he was walking out the restaurant, the waitress walked by the table and saw that $20 bill and that piece of literature. She just grabbed it up thinking, oh, he left this. She might have been mean, but she was honest, thinking. And she went, sir, 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 you left this on the table. He stopped before he walked out the door and said, ma'am, don't they believe in tipping around here? Whoa. Man, it just, talk about heaping coals of fire upon her head. Boy, talk about conviction. Talking about, boy, can't believe that this fellow would be so good to me when I've been so mean. And she began to weep. And as he approached her, he said, ma'am, I sense that you're broken. Because see, when you're broken, things aren't running right. When you're broken, When somebody's broken, they're mean. That's not normal behavior. Something's happened. Something's caused that. Something brought, and he was smart enough to perceive this lady's had a bad day. Maybe her husband just told her this morning he was walking out and leaving her for another woman. Maybe she just found out that her mother had passed away. Something tragic, something terrible has happened in this lady's life, which is causing her to act this way because she's broken, and he perceived that. Boy, salty Christians help broken people get better. Amen. Oh, that's what salt does. And man, in just a few moments, she realized that she had run across a salty, separated, soul-winning, serving saint for the Savior. She unloaded her burdens, found somebody that cared, found somebody she could talk to. And in just a few moments of time, Brother House said, "I know what you need," and introduced her to Jesus Christ. She accepted the Lord as her Savior right there in the front of that restaurant. Woo! I tell you what, she was glad and excited about a separated, salty, soul-winning, serving saint for the Savior that made things better. I'll thank God for them. Amen. How are you? Are you salt? Now he goes on, and he says, not only are ye salt, but he said, you're also light. The light of the world. I've got a visual aid I'd like to share with you here this morning to illustrate the point of this salt. We have this light here. I've got a lamp with a short-circuited wire in some water. I've got some electricity. And I need a volunteer to stick their finger in the water to see if it would work. Do I have anybody? Well, and I have a plastic spoon. Very important to have a plastic spoon. Do not try this at home. You must be a highly skilled electrical engineer, of which I'm not. But do not try this. Now, this container of water represents the world. And the Bible says, ye are the salt. He says, ye are the light. If there's no salt, if there's no separated, salty, soul-winning, serving saints for the Savior in a lost and dying world, they're in darkness. That's why he says, let your light shine. That's why he says, don't lose your savor, so that other people can see. And so let's see what happens. We put some separated, salty, soul-winning, serving saints for the Savior into a lost and dying world. Just seeing if you're paying attention here. Amen. All right. We're going to put some salt in here. Oh, yeah. Let's see here if we can generate a little bit. Maybe we need some more salty soul-winning serving saints for the Savior. Oh, yeah. There we go. We got a little bit of light, don't we? He said, and it's no trick, by the way, either. This salt is a conductor. And the Lord needs something he can work through. So there'll be a light. And that's kind of the way America is right now. The light once was bright, but it's getting dim. That's the reason why Muslims are taking over. Because Christians are letting their light shine. That's the reason why this country is in such sorry shape. It's because Christians. They want you to forget that our country was founded upon Christian principles. They're rewriting the textbooks in schools because they don't want the kids to be educated in the truth of how this country was established. They want them to believe a lie. They don't want them to know that Pocahontas was one of the first native converts here in this world. They want you to think that she converted John Smith over to their polytheism ideas. They don't want you to know that he earnestly prayed for her to get saved. And when she got saved, they changed her name to Rebecca. And she got baptized and changed. Why? Man, it was because of some separated, salty, soul-winning, serving saints for the Savior came to the United States of America and founded this country upon Christianity, upon principles from the Word of God, upon truth. While most of the signers of the Declaration of Independence claim to be professing Christians, you go to the Washington and you look at all the monuments and there's scripture everywhere. You go in the Capitol building, they're having prayer meetings. Now, they're trying to put Christianity out. Well, they're going to have to destroy Washington. They're going to have to deface the monuments. They're going to have to rewrite history. It'll just be a matter of time because they're wanting to push that behind us. But hey, what we need is to have some more salt in the lost and dying world because some light. Let's see what happens if we put a little bit more salt in this lost and dying world. Oh, yeah. Boy, lights pick up. And God said, man, I need some salt to be able to help people to see. And boy, thank God for those people that let their light shine. And boy, the more salt that we put in a lost and dying world, oh, that's the reason why we need to start more churches. That's the reason why that we need to do our best to spread the gospel, boy, to let your light shine. Oh, thank God for that separated salty soul winning, serving saint for the Savior that helped you see. Oh, God said, I need a light, and he sent you. God said, I need a light. He sent Pastor Ross to start this church, oh, many years ago, and now he's in heaven, and his son is left behind letting his light shine. Oh, thank God for that separated, salty, soul winning, serving saint that saw the need, that saw a lost and dying world. Oh, those ones that make the difference. Those are the ones God said, I need a light. God said, I need a light in the Philippines. And I'm going to send missionary Rick Martin, a little bitty skinny fella. You would never think that he could have ever done what God used him to do. Showed up in the Philippines with a basketball under his arms. Picked up a game with about 8 boys out on the ball court. After he played basketball, they thought he was Michael Jordan. Man, he was big, tall compared to their short stature. And after he played ball with them and sat them down, says, fellas, I want to ask you life's most important question. If you die today, do you know you go to heaven? That's life's most important question. And if you are salt, you say that. If you died today, do you know you'd go to heaven? And if you're here today and you don't know the answer to that, you're in the best place you could be, because we want to help you see that you can know that you go to heaven. He says, you know you go to heaven? They said, no. If I could show you from the Bible, wouldn't you like to know? Well, sure. I mean, who would be stupid enough to say, no, I want to go to hell and burn forever? How stupid is that? And so he said, yeah. And so he shared with them the simple plan of salvation from the book of Romans and quoted them scripture, showed them from the Bible, and they saw their need to be saved. They saw themselves lost. They saw themselves a sinner. They saw themselves dying and going to hell. And you'll never go to heaven until you first see that you're lost. And one of them kids out there in the junior churches, they are sinners and they deserve hell. You're talking about my grandchild. Yeah. Uh-huh. You're talking about my child. Yeah. And I'm talking to you too. And I'm talking to me. And I'm talking about my family. My family deserves hell. If you didn't deserve hell, God would be here. If you didn't deserve hell, you'd have to be perfect. If you didn't deserve hell, you're equal with Jesus. But because we're sinners, we all deserve hell. That's the bad news. Huh? Oh, for all have sinned and come short. You got to see that. You'll never go to heaven until you see yourself burning in hell. Oh, that's the reason why that I responded. That's the reason why, as I was a boy, I couldn't stay in my seat as the preacher preached that morning. Woo! He was talking about heaven and hell. He was talking about death. And I realized that I was a sinner. I realized I deserved hell. And I didn't want to go to hell. Oh, I tell you what, you don't have to. That's another thing you got to see. God said, I need a light to help people see that they can know that they'll go to heaven. That's what this church is for. That's why a lot of churches name themselves Lighthouse Baptist Church, Gospel Light Baptist Church, Blessed Hope, Hope of Heaven. Amen. Baptist Church. Huh? Yeah, that's our job. And God said, I need light. By the way, Rick Martin started his church after them 8 boys got saved. Now, over 30 years later, if you'd go there to the city of Iloilo, you would find a block, an entire city block of buildings that every weekend are filled up with anywhere from 3,000 to 4,000 people. He has over 400 to 500 students in his Bible college at any given time. Started over 500 churches in the 7,000 plus islands in the Philippines. God has used him. God said, I need a light in the Philippines. They're in darkness, and I'm going to send missionary Rick Martin over there. He's a separated, salty, soul-winning, serving saint for the Savior. He's going to let his light shine to help them see. And thousands have gotten saved because that man let his light shine. Are you letting your light shine? Are you salt? Are you making things better? Oh, God said, I need a light. God said, I need a light in New Guinea to a tribe of cannibals and headhunters. And he sent missionary Margaret Stringer, a single lady. She persuaded some men to take her on a trip to a tribe of cannibals, headhunters, who would torture and mutilate and dismember and would cook and eat anybody that came into their area. They were most feared and dreaded. And she said, if they knew Jesus, they wouldn't do that. If they could see the light, they wouldn't do that. And she said, I'm going to take the light to them. They tried to talk her out of it, tried to convince her, don't do this. People have tried before and have never come back. She said, no, I must go. I have to go. And so, through a series of events, she took a long trip. Took her several days. Floated down the Brazos River. Slept in a tree houses one night because of some tribal warfare. And over 20 feet in the air, 45 people in a room about 20 foot square. No running water, no lights, no electricity, no bathrooms. Eating things that you and I wouldn't even step on. Why? Because those people were in darkness. Those people didn't have a light. And she says, I got to go share with them the gospel. And she showed up, and I don't have time to tell you the entire story, but through a series of events, she explained and taught them the gospel. She learned their language, and through the process of time, the chief got saved. Over 60% of the village saw the light and got saved. Thank God for that separated, salty, soul-winning, serving saint for the Savior that went over there and reached those people. Now no longer are they headhunters. Now no longer are they cannibals. Now no longer are they the most dreaded and feared tribe in all of New Guinea. Why? Thank God for that light. God said, now I need a light. I want you to be a light. I want you to help people to see. I want them to be able to see their need of salvation. Oh, thank God for those that have let their light shine. Thank God for those people that would have gone out of their way. Thank God for that one that helped you see. Huh? Do you remember when you saw the light? You remember when it snapped for you, when it put together? God said, I need a light. And he sent missionary pastor Leonard Kuhnert to Dwight, Illinois. And then he sent a businessman by the name of Elber Reber. And they partnered with God, and he partnered with God with his business to be able to help build a church. And they started a church there in that rural community. And Dean Lang came in and took his place. And he took the church to the next level. And he was the next light to come in there. And he was inspired by John R. Rice and Jack Hiles. Got the church excited about soul winning. And Ollie Mae Harvey come by the chicken ranch to talk to my daddy. Invited him to come to church. And she'd buy eggs. And through a process of time, she had befriended him. She's just no Southern gal. If you got the name Ollie Mae Harvey, that's a Southern name, amen. And she couldn't get him to come, and so she got to the deacons. That's back when churches had deacons, you know, that would go soul winning and visiting and everything. Wonderful thing. And she got the deacons to go visit this family, both some hillbillies that had been transplanted up north. And so she sent the deacons by. The deacons came by and knocked on the door of the house. My daddy was sitting there in the front room, and they come to that front door where it had been painted shut. You know, there's a sidewalk, there's a sidewalk, there's a porch, there's a door, but it don't work. It doesn't open. Nobody uses it. Who knows what it's there for? Painted shut. They came to the front door. Dad hears the knock. He goes to the back door. Nobody there. He comes and sits back down in his chair. The fellas say, well, we know somebody's in there. We see the lights. We see the movement. He said, we're going to go to the back door. So they went to the back door. Knocked on the back door hard. Dad said, somebody's at, maybe they're at the front door. Dad got up, went to the front door. Nobody there. But them fellas were persistent. Man, them fellas says, hey, we're not giving up that easy. We know somebody's in there. Man, they were hunting. I'm looking for the man that's looking for me. And they kept on knocking on that door. Dad finally got up, went to the door. There they were, old Carl Baker and Glenn Starks. Carl Baker, tall, skinny guy. Man, looked like a zipper, stuck out his tongue, had a little bitty mustache. Glenn Starks, he was short, wide as he was tall, had his pants tucked down into his boots, had a great big old belt buckle. Man, had a Western tie on. Man, he's standing there. Looked like Laurel and Hardy. And invited them to come in. They came in, befriended my daddy, because they were Southern transplants too, you know. And my daddy took us to church and sent in church. And that preacher was preaching. I saw that I was going to hell. When he had that invitation, said, if you'd like to know you come go to heaven when you die, why don't you leave your seat? Why don't you come down here and we'll take the Bible and show you? Man, I'll never forget it. I was under conviction, tears running down my face. My daddy said, son, what's the matter? And I couldn't talk. I was crying so hard, I was a sucking air. And he said, son, he said, what's the matter? You want to get saved? And I said, yes. Man, I got up out of my seat. They took me down to the front. The preacher's wife was very well versed in dealing with children and opened up a little red New Testament. Showed me God's simple plan of salvation. She said, Kevin, you understand that you're a sinner? I said, yes, ma'am, I see that. She said, you understand you're going to die and you deserve to go to hell? I said, yes, ma'am, I see that. She said, do you understand that Jesus loves you and died for you on the cross of Calvary and paid for your sins? Do you believe that? I said, yes, ma'am, I see that. She said, wouldn't you like to accept him as your personal Savior? The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I said, yes, I want to do that. And right then and there, I bowed my head. Lord Jesus Christ, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Save my soul as I put my faith and trust in you. And at that moment, I was saved. At that moment, I was born into the family of God. Thank the Lord for that light. Boy, I saw the light. January 10th, 1971, seven-year-old, red-headed, freckle-faced boy. I made life's most important decision. How about you? You got a memory of being saved. Because if you're saved, you'll know it. It ain't, oh, hope so, maybe so. No, you ain't always been a Christian. And it's not something that happens over a process of time. When you make life's most important decision to accept, it's a personal decision. And you're going to remember it. You're going to know it. You might not know the date. You might not know all the fine details, but you're going to have a memory of being saved. I remember when I got married. That's a pretty big deal. My wife reminds me of it. But you know what's more important than that? I remember when I got saved. If you're here today and you say, I don't have no memory of that. I don't know what you're trusting in and what you're dependent on, but there's only one way to get to heaven. Amen. Two groups of people here, those that have seen the light and those that haven't. There's those that are salt, and those that's lost their savor. There's those that's going to heaven and those that's going to hell. Which group are you? I hope today you make life's most important decision. You decide, I'm going to accept that free gift. I see that. I understand that. That makes sense to me. We'd like to explain it to you and answer any questions you might have this morning. Let's bow our heads together for prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the salty Christians that you've put in our life to help us see. And I pray, dear God, you'd help those that are salt not to lose their savor and to continue to let their light shine. Dear God, I pray this morning if there's anyone here today who has never seen the light, they've never saw themselves dying and going to hell, which they must do before they go to heaven. I pray, dear God, you'd help them to see that and understand that you love them, and that's why you sent your son to die on the cross. And I pray, dear God, that they would accept that free gift of eternal life that you've paid for today before it's eternally too late. His heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I wonder who would say, preacher, I remember when I saw the light. I remember when I accepted Christ as my Savior. I got a remember of that. Who'd raise their hand and say, that's me? I remember when I got saved. I could tell you about it. I could testify to you about it. God bless you. Hands all across the room. Thank you for your honesty. You can put your hands down. If you hear this morning, say, preacher, you know, I don't have a memory of that. Preacher, I don't know for sure that I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to take care of that today. I want to know today that I'm going to heaven. I want to make that decision today. Who'd slip their hand up and say, that's me, preacher. If I could know I'd go to heaven, I'd like to know that today. I'd like to make that decision today. God bless you. Thank you. I see that hand. Who else? Who else would just slip that hand up and say, hey, that's me. If I could know it, I'd like to know it. Oh, I guarantee you. I'd like, not in just a moment. God bless you, buddy. I see that hand. That's another one. Who else? Anyone else here today? Life's most important decision. If you're here today and you slipped your hand up, a couple young men did, this is what we're going to do. In just a moment, we'll stand. In just a moment, when that first note is played on the piano, that is your time to make your decision. And I hope you make the right one, just like I did. Step out, leave your seat, come right down here to the front. There's a preacher. There's men with a Bible that love and care about you and would love to help you make this decision today before it's too late. Let's all stand together with heads bowed and eyes closed. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help these two young men that raised their hands and that responded. I pray that, dear God, they would decide today's going to be the day when they're going to make that decision. Lord, that they will have seen the light. They understand and see their need for salvation. Give them boldness and courage to step out. I pray, dear God, those that are saved would decide this morning, I don't want to lose my savor. I want to let my light shine. I want to make the Lord look good. I want to be salt. I want to be light. Bless now as we have this invitation. We ask these things in your precious name. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, the pianist begins to play. You step out and come right now. This invitation is open. You leave your seat. Come down here to the front. God bless you. Amen. There you go. That's right. You raised your hand. Said, hey, that's me. Hey, preacher, I'd like to know I'd go to heaven. Hey, I'd like to get that settled. Amen. God bless you. Why don't you come? Why don't you respond? Life's most important decision. Oh, don't wait. Don't delay. Now is the time. This is it. You're not guaranteed a tomorrow. You don't know how much time you got. Don't wait till next week. Don't put it off. Deal with it today. Oh, if I could know, I'd go to heaven. You got a friend or a loved one with you. You brought them here today. They just might need a little bit of encouragement. They just might need you to nudge them a little bit and say, hey, I'll come down front with you. Hey, I'd love to help you make that decision. I'll go with you. Oh, this is it. How about you? Are you salt? Are you light? Do you know that you'd go to heaven? Oh, today. Make life's most important decision to accept Christ. This morning, you got a choice to make. To receive or to reject. I hope today you obey the Lord. What's your need? Your greatest need is salvation, to know that you're going to heaven.